Howdy, everyone. I am Dave Butler.
I'm Stephen Tager.
Welcome to Revival, our little podcast. We wish you were here in our studio with us and sitting around this little table. If it's your first time, hi. We drop episodes every Tuesday because it's the day of double blessings, and that's what we want for you. Double, triple, quadruple blessings.
What's the next one?
Quintuple. Is it? I don't know what five is. So just thinking in and out's got it good. We're like a 2x2, a 3x3, a 4x4. We're going to call it a 5x5 blessing. So I'm going to start calling it from now on. We love talking about faith together. Stefan's my favorite person to talk about faith with.
Thank you.
And that's what we do each week. We use conference talks and we just talk about faith in a way that we think about, how can I live a life of faith better? How can I live eternal life? That's what Jesus said, right? Come live eternal life. Come live the good life. That's what we talk about. What does the good life look like? And hopefully it's reviving to your soul.
So Soren Kierkegaard is walking through a cemetery.
Nerd. I'm just kidding.
I knew it was coming. And this is in one of my favorite books. It's called Overhearing the Gospel. He's walking through a cemetery and he actually hears a grandfather.
He's not a nerd for walking to the cemetery. Let me just be really clear. I'm saying.
I thought you were calling me the nerd.
I was, but I'm just telling everybody else who's listening. if you walk through cemeteries, I think that's great. I actually love it a lot. P.S. But I'm calling you a nerd because you just quote philosophers all the time and everyone loves it. Don't worry, Stephen.
So Soren Kierkegaard is walking through a graveyard cemetery and he hears a grandfather speaking to his grandson because the father just passed away, the generation in between.
Mm.
And the grandfather and the grandson don't know Kierkegaard's listening. And he overhears this conversation of this grandfather talking to his grandson about, you know, eternity and life and death. Right.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the quote here from Fred Craddock, tenderly but forcefully of life, death, and life eternal.
Mm.
And it affects Kierkegaard deeply. And he goes on to think that there's something about overhearing a powerful conversation that is life-changing because it's not directed to you.
Yeah.
You don't get defensive.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to overhear a member of the First Presidency talk to his grandkids.
Which I think is...
Kids and grandkids, I think he says.
Yeah, right. Which I think is, it's so sweet that he... And then at the very end, like, you know it's like tender from the heart because did you notice at the very end of his talk where he just says, you can have the Spirit every day of our lives. I love you in the name of Jesus Christ. And he was like, oh. It's so sweet to me when I got to it. And I just thought... I love thinking about that he's just, I'm at the sunset of my life, right? And here he is saying, this is what I wish, kind of like last week we were talking about, it's what I wish you would know about how to live life. I've tried it. I've done it. I've lived it. And here I am, and here's my wish for you.
He says, we have heard again President Russell M. Nelson's warning that in coming days, it will not be possible to survive spiritually without the guiding, directing, comforting, and constant influence of the Holy Ghost. That prophetic warning has led me to ponder what I might teach my children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren about how to have that crucial guidance in the difficult days ahead for them. So, this message today is a brief letter to my descendants that might help them when I am not with them in the exciting days ahead. You notice how he calls it both difficult
And exciting. I've heard and quoted that President Nelson quote so many times and just seeing it right now where he just says, because it will not be possible to survive spiritually kind of scares me a little bit, you know, where you're like, what? You know, it's a little bit like intense. But then I kind of got moved by this last part where he just describes what the Holy Ghost does. Like he guides, he directs, he comforts, and he's constant. Like, those are all possibilities. I know it's a warning, but also with him saying exciting, it's just like, oh, look, there's a possibility of have the guiding and directing and comforting and constant influence of the Holy Ghost. That a member of the Godhead can be a legitimate companion. You can enjoy his company. You can be within whispering distance of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all intents and purposes. And that seems like super thrilling, especially for a really indecisive person, you know, which Stefan is. but, you know, where I just like, I want to do good in the world and I want to live my life in a way that matters. And I And I don't want to miss out on opportunities. And to me, it feels, that part feels exciting and thrilling that you can live life.
Yeah.
With this command. Do you remember at the end of Jesus' life where he says something like this? I'm going to see if this will come back to me. It's verily, verily. That means truly, truly. He says something along the lines of, you're not going to believe what I'm about to say. But I promise you, you'd rather have the Holy Ghost in your heart than me by your side. He says at the Last Supper conversation. And I read it the first time and I was like, that's not true. Do I need to find the verse? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, oh, yeah. In John,
right, yeah,
before
yeah.
he goes, he says, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you. And that's necessary for that to happen. It's needful.
You know, how come you think that's needful for that to happen?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting because on some level, Jesus's physical presence was just limited to where he was there in Jerusalem and Galilee. So maybe there's something about just the all-encompassing nature of the Spirit.
Yeah. You know, anyways, we won't go down that rabbit hole that doesn't have, it's like a too theological maybe, but it's awesome. The name of this even, our constant companion. I think it's good to have alone time, but the feeling of being lonely is, I think, one of the saddest experiences that people have. And I just like that Jesus promises you don't have to do this life alone.
Yeah.
You don't have to feel that kind of heavenly loneliness.
The way that President Irene's going to teach us is he's actually going to draw a lot on some Book of Mormon texts. One of the first ones he says is, it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi and many of their brethren who knew concerning the true points of doctrine, having many revelations daily, therefore they did preach unto the people insomuch that they did put an end to their strife in that same year. He says, Helaman's...
Well, and that's kind of cool that like, okay, the purpose of having those revelations daily was to put an end to their strife. Like if anybody is experiencing some sort of strife in their life right now, or what's a synonym for strife? You know,
contention.
Yeah, contention, struggle, whatever it is. And he just says, oh, the many revelations daily like led to an end for that. That God was guiding them to a more peaceful, a calm like situation.
Right.
Like, I just can think of a, like within a family or just a neighborhood.
Right.
Like where you're just like, oh, it's seriously, like there is such a mess here. And somebody can go in prayer to Father in heaven and say, walk me through this. How do I do this? How do I navigate this? And that his presence can bring about a solution to it.
Yeah, to become.
That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. He says, Helaman's sons were taught and guided by a series of experiences with the Holy Ghost. To be concrete about this, it could mean you have a simple but powerful scripture study. You pray to know God's will for you that day. You're driving the work and you see the beauties of creation. You feel some restraint, maybe at work, about maybe saying something that's a little too cutting or mean or something. And throughout the day, you get these little important nudges from the Holy Spirit that invite us. It's not like...
No, you're describing like, what am I look like to have a series of
experiences with the Holy Ghost every day. Yeah.
And that's cool.
And it's not only restraint. The Holy Ghost does that. Sometimes it says, don't do that. Don't call that. But it seems like, if not just as much and maybe even more, the Holy Ghost opens up our hearts and minds and spirits to opportunities to love and serve and be grateful. I mean, this one of the ways that the Spirit is described in the scriptures is fire.
Mm.
And so to live a life where you feel...
I'm on fire.
Right.
Yeah.
For what's good and loving.
Or just like lit up is another way of saying that. You know, or just say, I just feel like... Because I would say one of the impressions, experiences that were of the Holy Ghost for me is just encouragement. Like just a feeling of like either a keep going kind of encouragement or a you're doing okay kind of encouragement. Like those are some that I would add into the mix also.
Yeah, President Irene talks about Nephi going into the city at nighttime to get the plates from Laban. And he quotes that famous verse, and I was led by the Spirit, not knowing beforehand the things which I should do.
Which is everybody's life. You know, we read that, we're just like, ooh, that's brutal, you know? Like, that's scary. But then I was like, I read it this year when we're studying it for Come Follow Me. And I was like, wait, that's kind of like, I don't know what tomorrow is going to be. Like, I'm that. We're all that.
It's so funny because there are many times in my life that I can remember that if I had gotten what I wanted, if I had gotten what I had planned for, it would have ruined everything.
Mm.
And so I'm thankful that the Lord had a different plan and let me fail in certain ways to open up doors and promptings were much better.
Well, are you going to keep reading? Because there's this concept I love where he says, I've been encouraged by knowing that Nephi was guided by the Spirit minute by minute. And I wrote in my notes in my phone when I was reading this that I want to remember that he's a minute by minute God. And it changes the way that I think my relationship with the Spirit from show me the end goal and or show me every step up to that end goal. And if I know he's a minute by minute God, I mean, now I'm now going to approach him minute by minute or day by day and saying, what's my next minute's move? What's my next day's move? And that might be wait and that might be stay, but it just changes. Like I was just, when I was reading it, thinking that changes my approach to being guided and directed by the Spirit. I want to connect it to the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer, where the Lord says in that prayer, the pattern of give us this day our daily bread. One side of my spirit says, no, I want weekly bread at least, or monthly. My preference, decade bread. You know, give me the plan. Give me what I need today so I kind of know like I'm good for the next 10 years. And then the other side of my spirit is drawn to that daily reliance, that daily conversation, that daily companionship that relying on him minute by minute would bring.
Yeah.
I mean, over a lifetime, the way that your trust and your heart would have been endeared to God by looking to him minute by minute or day by day is what my heart would become, I think, is way more beautiful in that way than it would be if it was like,
yeah,
let me give you 10 years at a time.
Right. I want to say that I really appreciate your example in this for this, Dave. And guys, we set this up. Dave really wanted me to say this about him on the air.
He made me a little nervous. Not knowing beforehand what you were going to say.
But I've actually known you for a long time. And I appreciate you. I mean, you're organized and you're very, very hardworking. And sometimes...
I'm not organized, Stephen.
Let me say it like this. You have a flexibility to be drawn into what the situation requires. Hmm. And you stop and talk with people and let the Spirit guide you. And sometimes I see it and you seem really exhausted. But full of love. And I've always really appreciated that. Maybe it's like, you know, my dad's a retired military officer and I'm German. I'm organized and I'm structured. But on another level, there's a freedom and excitement that comes from, oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit will guide me minute to minute. And I'll see how it calls me into talking with people and being with individuals and showing kindness and letting my schedule be interrupted to have a moment of ministry and love for others. So thanks for being a good example that way.
Well, that's super, super kind. And I want to say two things about it. One, I do think I have a personality for it. So that's something to be said. I appreciate that because I really do try. I sincerely try to live my day led by the Spirit. I do have that part of me that says, give me some guarantees. But also, I think there's a larger part of me that says, surprise me, amaze me. I'll just say this really generally because I don't even know if it'll come across right or something, but I feel like I was led, kind of prompted about a year ago or so to go talk to somebody. And I'm pretty friendly and whatever, but it was a little bit out of my comfort zone to do it. So I did. And it was a little bit awkward to do it. But I've experienced some of my sweetest miracles of my life so far that have dominoed from that conversation. Like ones where I can clearly say, God's so aware of what's happening with his children on the earth. And they dominoed from that one, you know, go talk to that boy kind of thing. And so it's just interesting that, do you ever think about this? That you're like, have I had my best day so far already of my life? You know, on my very last day, when I look back, will I say, oh, when was that? When was my favorite day? Or when was I wowed by God the most in my life? And to me, this minute by minute God principle says that you can live in anticipation of of God thrilling you again and again and again.
It's beautiful.
I try, and then sometimes I don't want to. You know, do right? It's like,
it's wonderful.
He draws me to it. I'm drawn to do it because of, you know, what that means. But it's also scary.
President Irons says, we need, and you will need, the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost. Now, we desire it. Yet we know from experience that it is not easy to achieve. We can think and say and do things in our daily lives that can offend the Spirit.
I also know that. and I want to say about that, I wrote in my notes, I forgot. I think it's in the next sentence that you say, and that when this happens, we may feel the disapproval from the Lord. And I've always kind of thought that's the withdrawal of the Spirit. But then I kind of had this thought, disapproval is the Spirit. Hmm. Like, he brings a feeling of disapproval. He's not gone. He's tutoring and he's teaching in that, you know, at that time. And I was like, that's actually that kind of shifted a way of thinking for me of that the feeling of disapproval is the feeling and the tutoring and the gentle nature of the Spirit.
Right. I love that.
He's like, David, you're on your way to, if you let this grow, if you let this continue, it'll be a great danger to you. So let me teach you. You don't want to do that.
In connection with that, if someone were to ask me, how can I feel really close to God in so much that the Holy Spirit is with me, and directly in line with what you're talking about, he says, if you find yourself having difficulty in feeling the Holy Ghost, you might ponder whether there is anything for which you might repent and receive forgiveness. You can pray with faith to know what to do to be cleansed, and thus more nearly qualify for that constant companionship of the Holy Ghost. Something that someone can say to me that causes me to just feel very close to them, it's this. You can say whatever you want, and I'm not going to get offended or mad or angry. And obviously, that person can still disagree with me and even correct me if necessary. But when someone really invites me to be extremely honest, that is when I feel really close to someone.
Mm.
And repentance is our chance to feel very close to God and say, God, be really, really honest with me. Tell me exactly what you think, what I could be doing better, or, you know, or maybe ways I'm doing well right now, which President Irene has taught, by the way. He says in sacrament, think both of what you have not been doing well and what you've done that has pleased God recently. But repentance is a way to have a really close, connecting, honest conversation with God. And it's going to sting. Right, a lot of the time.
Sure.
But we'll also feel closer to God.
And it shows care. It shows concern. Like, that's what I think reveals about his personality when we feel that nudge or push to do that. And I've found a God who's very gentle and patient with me. But when I ask, the thing I'm most nervous about is, don't take away a sin I really like. Sort of, you know, I think that's like maybe the part of the hesitancy of like, I don't want you to say. I mean, you talked to some, I talked to a friend the other day who's just like, I don't want to ask God about this because I don't want him to say no.
Yeah.
And I really, really, really want him to say yes.
Right.
This was a conversation that didn't have to do with wrong and right. It had the conversation to do with right and right.
Yeah.
You know, and that could take us down an entirely different path to do that. But I do think that we are. You know, we talked about this last week, but to Adam and Eve, he says, where are you going?
Yeah.
Why are you running and hiding and trying to cover this from the only person in the universe who can actually help you?
Right.
You're running from the only one. Everything he does, we just read this in the, or it's coming up or something in the Come Follow Me, that God does is good and for the benefit of the world.
Right.
So you can trust that. We want to trust that. I think we have to trust that about it. We have to know first that he's good, I think, before we'll give our lives over to him.
Right.
And ask for his direction.
I just love that so much. And the Holy Ghost is the advocate, not the accuser. He's not there to point out all of our sins and faults. And I remember reading a story, if I remember correctly, it was from Gene R. Cook. And he said on his mission, he said, I'm going to repent for all of my sins. So he kneels down and he's getting, before that, he actually starts to make a list of all of his sins. And I think he says, I get to about sin number 30, and I just got so overwhelmed and just depressed, I couldn't even go on. And then he said, the Lord won't overwhelm you.
Mm.
And so the overwhelming feeling that I'm not good enough and I feel shame and this is not very fun and this is impossible, that's the accuser, not the advocate. Mm. The Holy Ghost will challenge us and it will call us out sometimes and it will correct us. And he will also inspire us and love us and give us hope and a way forward.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, he quotes President Nelson where he talks about opportunities to repent. And I think President Nelson is doing a really, really good job of rebranding the word repentance.
Yes.
If I were to say one of the hallmarks of his presidency, that sounded like kind of fancy or whatever, but it is a rebrand of like a daily repentance.
Right.
You know, I never thought about that as a kid. A daily repentance,
right.
You know? And when we understand that word to mean turning back to him, turning to him for help, turning to him for advice, turning to him for counsel, turning to him for correction, if we can just, you know, he's done a good job of that. But in 21, or I guess not everyone has these labeled, but this paragraph where he talks about the companionship, he's like, you have to want it. You have to want the Holy Ghost. And makes me think, what's going to make me want that? Right? Like, what do I want out of this life? What do I want out of my relationship with God? I think that leads me to ask those kind of questions.
Yeah. If we understand the Holy Spirit to be what gives us joy, is the most soul-satisfying experience, it gives us life, then we'll do anything we can to seek after it. He says this, I testify that the Lord has kept his promise. That's such a good line.
It's like one of my favorite lines from this old talk. It's like, can you just hear him? He's his grandpa talking to his grandkids. I promise you, the Lord kept his promise.
The Holy Ghost is being sent to faithful covenant members of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, your experiences will be unique, and the Spirit will guide in the way best suited to your faith and capacity to receive revelation for you and for those you love and serve. I pray with all my heart that your confidence will grow. We have to be careful not to box in the Holy Spirit. Jesus compares it to wind, and it will work with people in the way that's best for them.
Yeah.
There are boundaries. The Holy Spirit's not going to invite you to do something outside of the boundaries of scriptures and the teachings of prophets, right? But let's not limit the influence of God in our lives.
And let's ask, he says at the end, for that his love to be in our hearts. Again, companionship with the Spirit means companionship with the Father in heaven. And it means companionship with the Savior of the world who laid down his life. The two of them together have given all their heart and proven their love to us.
Right.
That's who you get companionship with.
Right.
A good, good God and a good, good Son and a good, good Spirit.
The Savior did not go to the cross and then was resurrected so that he could leave us.
Right.
He did that so he could be with us.
Yeah.
First and foremost through the Holy Ghost in our hearts in this life. And then for eternity with our Father in heaven, his Son, the Spirit, and those we love most.
It's reviving. All right, y'all. See you next week.